Hello, welcome back to Middle East in Depth, part of Levant TV's Press Reviews. Mahdi Darius Nazim Ruaya writes an article for Russia Today and he titles it, America Pursuing Regime Change in Iraq Again. The writer looks at points that the US government and the corporate media should be challenged on. The ISIS did not just appear out of thin air. These foreign fighters have been trained, funded and armed by Washington and its allies. It is true that the ISIS has taken advantage of the general weakness of Iraq's political structures and government corruption. This point, however, is being used to whitewash how Washington has nurtured both the ISIS and corruption in Baghdad. Secondly, the US government and its allies do not categorically oppose the ISIS attack on Iraq. They engineered the ISIS's rise in multiple ways by keeping Iraq weak. In fact, the ISIS incursion into Iraq can be referred to as a US-manipulated invasion. Thirdly, Washington is trying to make it look like it is cooperating with Tehran to stabilize Iraq. By emphasizing and advertising that it is cooperating with Iran, the US government wants to hide the US role in destabilizing Iraq as a means of destabilizing Iran. In his very bold statements, Mahdi Nazim Ruaya assumes that sectarian tension is being fueled by the US. While this could be manageable, it wouldn't be easy to manipulate Iraq's religious factions under a government that maintains a balanced share of power. Where the US and its allies have failed in Syria, they now are turning their attentions back to Iraq. There should be no mistake about it. The US is using the ISIS to destabilize Iraq with the goal of controlling the Iraqi federal government in Baghdad and to weaken Iran and Syria. This article points fingers on the US and its unnamed allies. Any forces that might have an influence in Iraq are totally ruled out in the article. While the US has an interest in Iraq, one should look at the stance of and interests of regional powers too, namely Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. Also on Iraq, at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Laurie Bogart, Gulf Politics Fellow, writes an article on the Saudi role in financing the Al-Qaeda-linked ISIS. Significantly undermining ISIS's financial base would require rolling back the group's access to local Syrian and Iraqi income sources. The scope of official Saudi government support to ISIS, if any, government allowance of private donations to the group, and the relative importance of Saudi donations compared to the group's other sources of income. Bogart says at present there is no credible evidence that the Saudi government is financially supporting ISIS. Riyadh views the group as a terrorist organization that poses a direct threat to the kingdom's security. Bogart mentions the relative importance of Saudi funding. She says, although private Saudi donors and other contributors were believed to be the most significant funding source for ISIS in the past, the importance of such donations has been marginalized by the group's independent sources of income. On US policy implications, the writer says, recently ISIS gains in Iraq present an opportunity for Washington to tighten counterterrorism financing cooperation with Saudi Arabia. Another constructive move would be to gauge the potential for altering Washington's contentious dynamics with Kuwait and Qatar regarding terrorism financing. The writer concludes that funding the ISIS demands a counter-terrorism financing approach that shifts away from focusing on private donations. And now we are joined by Frank Gelli, London-based Anglican priest and cultural critic and commentator. Thank you very much for being on Middle East in Depth.
My pleasure.
In his article, Mahdi Darius Nazim Ruaya says the US government and its allies engineered the ISIS's rise in multiple ways by keeping Iraq weak, by promoting sectarianism. He says the ISIS incursion in Iraq can be referred to as a US-manipulated invasion. Do you agree with the writer and why?
I think it is a useful article. I'm sure the writer is right when he says that America is annoyed by the Iraqi government refusing to do Washington's bidding, in, for example, in helping to fight Assad in Syria. So the writer put his finger on a real point there. On the question of the US and its allies engineering the ISIS rise, I think the word engineering is perhaps too strong because it suggests somehow an accurate, unlikely precision. I mean, the United States very often messes up. It's more of they bring about a mess. They just, if I may use the word, screw up a great deal. So Navy engineering is too strong. Mm-hmm. But certainly they played a role, maybe more indirectly than directly, with ISIS. And in this sense, if they are doing this, they're supporting ISIS, maybe indirectly, the Americans are making a rod for their own back, because it will come back to haunt them. The idea of an extreme, intolerant version of a caliphate is not something which is going to help America and its allies.
Mm-hmm. Father Frank, the writer explains that the Iraqi government is categorically not a Shia government and the ISIS is not a Sunni organization. Why is it easier for the world powers to label conflict as sectarian? And as a Christian priest, do you believe the heads of the Shia and the heads of the Sunni sects in Iraq could do something to clarify that it is not a religious conflict per se?
Well, Ayatollah, Grand Ayatollah Sistani has issued a very sensible fatwa appealing to all Iraqis, not to any particular group or sect, appealing to all Iraqis to oppose those who want to divide the Iraqi people. And, for example, even in London, I'm aware of initiatives between Sunnis and Shia making quite clear that they reject the sectarian narrative. The question is, who is actually listening to these initiatives? Because ISIS and the Takfiris, let's not make no mistake here, it is a Wahhabi Salafi discourse and action which has a long history of divisiveness of extremists, targeted not only, of course, the Shia, but also the Sufis, the Christians, and other minorities. So the question is, who is listening to these peacemaking initiatives? Now, you're asking me as a Christian, of course, we want peace, and I'm concerned about peace in general, but also I'm concerned about the Christian minorities, which these fanatics, these extremists, like ISIS, are especially targeting. Mm-hmm. And we know also about what happens in Syria. It is disgraceful that the US government and the UK government and other European governments are actually indirectly, sometimes even directly, supporting those who are persecuting Christians and butchering Christians in Syria. So I certainly am very concerned about this conflict.
Yes.
And I think we must unite all God-fearing people in fighting this force for evil.
And you mentioned Ayatollah Sistani. You mentioned the people not listening to their religious leaders. But Ayatollah Sistani, people do listen to what he says, especially in Iraq at least. So could we still think that it's not enough what he said, to at least say that it's not sectarian?
People listen who are willing to listen. The problem here is, of course, that some of these Salafi Wahhabi groups are not really open to reason. You know, it's interesting how, for example, in the Shia tradition, philosophy, the cultivation of rationality or a rational discourse has been an ongoing tradition, whereas these Salafi Wahhabi types are really rejecting any idea of a rational basis for belief, for an approach to problems. So if you are an enemy of rationality, if you're an enemy of reason, it seems to me that, of course, you're automatically putting yourself in a kind of ghetto, intellectual ghetto, which prevents you from listening to reason.
Yes.
So I think Ayatollah Sistani has done all he could, and I think a sensible and good people will listen to him. But those who will not, some people not willing to listen. Mm. And those people we have to oppose with all possible means.
Reverend Father Mark Gelli, also holder of an MA in Islamic Studies, thank you very much indeed for your participation.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.
And for more updates, please visit levant.tv. Thanks for watching Medis in Depth, and bye for now.